Forgot my jacket again. See, you've probably heard this, but my mom always told me that if my head wasn't screwed on, I would leave it around everywhere. And it's true, because I forget everything. Now, what am I here for? Just wondering. Hey, listen, I came across this statistic. I'm not sure if it's true, because I don't know how in the world you would figure it out. But I read that the average person speaks 11 million words a year. Okay, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, do they like follow somebody around? Do they put a microphone on somebody for a year? Can you imagine? No. So, but 11 million words a year, can you imagine that? You know what I mean? Now, I have a friend at work who probably gets this done in about a month. You know what I mean? You probably know people like that too. But 11 million words a year at age of 65 is 715 million words. That's a lot of words. Now, the problem, I think, is that they went from age zero, right? And you don't start, you know, gibbering and actually saying sentences until, what, two, one and a half, two, somewhere around there. So I think it's a little off, but either way, 715 million words is a lot. It's a lot of words. And the thing I want to talk about today is the fact that our words matter. Words matter. And if you could, I'd like to go to James chapter 3. I just want to read, because I tell you what, I've been in this book for a little while now, and I really wrote this sermon for me, because I'm a moron a lot of times, and I need it. And James is one of those books that kind of slaps you in the face a lot when you read it, because it's all about straightening out your act. But I want to read, starting in chapter 3, verse 1, just a few verses. In fact, I want to skip a little bit. But it starts out, verse 1, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. If we put bits in the horse's mouth so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. So they are so large and are driven by such strong winds, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and reptile and bird and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness and wisdom." The tongue. The tongue is one of those things that we have a hard time taming. And I'll tell you, like I said, I stumble at this one a lot. Sometimes I just have a big, fat mouth. You know what I mean? But we just want to go over this because it's good for everybody. It's good for me. It's good for you. Just to hear these things. And there's going to be some practical things in here, too, of how we can kind of curtail this. But I want to start out just saying that our words matter. Our words matter. The things that we say matter. Turn with me. We're going to be jumping around a lot. We're going in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has a lot to say about things that we say a lot. And so Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, and like I said, we're going to be skipping around in Proverbs, if I could get there. So it says this: gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Words. Gracious words. You see, our words should be gracious, because gracious words help people. They help others. They're sweetness. They don't dry the bones. They don't wound the spirit. They don't harm the individual. You ever remember that phrase, sticks and stones shall break my bones, but names will never hurt me? That's not true. It's absolutely not true. Sticks and stones will hurt, and they will break your bones if they're large enough, right? But words hurt. Words hurt. But the Bible talks about gracious words and how our words should be gracious. Turn just a little bit over to Proverbs 18, verse 4. Think about this one. 18:4, it says, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountains of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Think about that. You ever swam in the ocean or the lake? Right? How deep that is. Think about a bubbling brook, something that bubbles up and begins to flow down to wherever. That's what your words are like. That's what words are like. It's like a deep ocean. It's like a bubbling brook. They bubble up out of the inside. They come out. They flow. They fill. Words. I even think of being up here. Words. Because sometimes I say some goofy things, right? We have a little humor. You know what I mean? It's not bad to have a little humor, make people smile and laugh and things like that. Words. Our words are words are words. So we see, and then verse 21 in the same chapter, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Did you hear that? That's pretty powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The things that you say could mean death or life for someone. Whether it be family or children or wife or husband or friend or coworker or stranger. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits. Our words can be life for other people. They are meant to be life. But yet, a lot of times as Christians, we snap, we get aggravated. Right, we get angry. We do these things, and we all do it. I do it, and this is why I wrote this, because like I said, I'm a moron, and I just sometimes I have a heart. Like at work, you know what I mean? You work with those certain individuals that drive you up a wall, can't take it anymore, you know what I mean? And just, oh, but you can't do that. As a believer, I have a new nature. I have my old nature, and it wants to tear that guy up. And I have my new nature, which is Christ's nature, that says I need to love that person. But in the heat of battle, this guy sometimes wins. When realistically, if I'm in the Word and praying, this guy should win. Your words can be life for others. Now, this next verse I want to take you to me is terrifying. Terrifying. It's in Matthew chapter 12. This one, especially in this season of politicalness, we really got to be careful. Really got to be careful. I've been thinking about this. And I'm so convicted in my heart. But it's in chapter 12, it's verse 36. And I'm in chapter 13. Here we go. Hey, look at that, chapter 12. Isn't that fantastic? It's just right there. But he's talking, it starts out, a tree is known by its fruit. Either, verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad. The tree is known by its fruit, right? And he's talking to the Pharisees. But in verse 36, he says this: I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words will be condemned. Did you hear that? Every careless word. And when I read, you know, you read something, and then you read it again, and you think to yourself, I've never read this before. Wow, this is amazing. It just popped right out at me. Well, maybe it's God saying, hey, this is what I'm working on now in your life, so straighten up. Right? And it just hit me, and I just thought, man, shut my mouth. Shut my mouth. You ever wonder why God gave us 2 ears and 2 eyes and 1 mouth? It's so we'll listen and look twice as much as we talk. And it's like, stop. We just got to do it. But think about that. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. And we were talking downstairs about Brian, Ray's friend, the Chrisman's, right? The man who just committed suicide. And he said to you, don't waste your prayers on me. Oh, careless words. Wow. And my like my friends at work, I'm talking to them. I was just talking to them on Friday, and I'm quoting scripture and stuff, and they're, I'm good enough. I'll go to heaven. You know, it's like careless words. You guys don't know what you're saying. But even for us, careless words. We've gotta be careful. We've gotta watch out. We've gotta watch out because we just never know. We just never know. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says this: "For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." Wow. So, our words are supposed to be life, but sometimes they can be death. So now what I want to do is I want to go with you and walk with some of the ways that we can harm people or people harm us. But I want to give us some practical things to battle them. Right? Because it's nice to go over the scriptures and you read the scriptures and it's for our learning, it's for our edification. But sometimes we need to add in a little practicum to kind of help us. When we get into a situation, what do we do? What do we do to get out? Right? So the first thing, Proverbs chapter 20, and I'm sorry if you just want to, you know, if you just want to hang and let me do the skipping, you can do that. That's fine. But Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, it says this. It says, "Whoever goes around slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with such a simple babbler." Gossip. I tell you what, this one hits everybody, right? Because you know what happens. You walk up and you say, "Hey, did you just hear what so-and-so did?" And then you're immediately like, you're like grabbing the rope. "Oh, what? No, what? Oh, that guy." Gossip. Gossip kills. Gossip kills. How many of you ever have scrambled an egg? Ever? Raise your hand. I want to see. Have you ever scrambled an egg? Made a scrambled egg? Yes. That's very good. It's very good. How many of you have ever unscrambled an egg? Anyone? Anyone? Of course not. Bill, that's dumb. You can't do that. There's only one thing harder than unscrambling an egg, and it's taking back the words of gossip. Once they're out, they're gone. You can't get them back. Gossip destroys. And then Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, just back a little bit. Tell you what, the Proverbs are so rich in practical things. I had an ethics teacher. I quoted a proverb to her in class. I liked her a lot. She was one of my favorite teachers in college. This was probably about 2 years ago. And she says, "I don't like the Proverbs." And I was like, "Oh, I love the Proverbs because there's wisdom and practical things in the Proverbs." I don't think she was talking about biblical Proverbs, though. 16:28, it says, "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." Isn't that interesting? A whisperer separates close friends. And that's happened. Maybe it's happened to you. Maybe it's happened to me. And maybe I've done it. And I'll tell you what, it's bad. It's very bad. Gossip destroys friends, destroys people, it destroys chapels, it destroys churches. I have read, doing some research on this, I have read so many posts and communications between people of how gossip in a church destroyed the pastor because of that guy over there. He didn't like something he did, and bam, and all of a sudden half the church is against him. I want to give us some practical things, though, that we can do to stop. And the first thing is, if someone starts to gossip, your first reaction should be, I don't believe you. This happened to me once, and I was young, and I was dumb, and someone said, you know what, I don't believe you. And it immediately stopped my mouth. I stood back and I went, what? Because usually people bite the hook. And when they don't bite the hook, you're like, oh, and you just stop. You're like stunned. I don't believe you, first of all. Boom, stop it. The second thing you could do is, you know what, let's call that guy and see if you're right. And I'll tell you what, you want to put an end to it? You want to see if that guy who's starting gossip is really telling the truth? Say, let's call so-and-so and find out if it's true. And he'll go, oh, no, yeah, no, that's okay, I just want to, you know what? Bzz. Go away. Because it'll immediately stop. I don't want to hear it. I don't want that stuff. Because it's bad. And the third thing, you could just be blunt and say, I don't want to hear any gossip. I don't want to hear it. Stop it. You need to repent for what you're doing. And the thing is, what's very interesting to me is if they're going to spread gossip about somebody else, they can spread it about you. Because if they don't care about that guy when you're not around, what happens if you're not around? Right? Oh. And most of the time, what's really interesting about things that happen in life is there is your side, their side, and the truth that lies in the middle. And if you're only getting one side, shame on you. Shame on me. Because there's always another side. And there may be a third side. Stop. Stop it. Now, what if it's me? What if I have this inkling to go, hey, did you hear about that guy? You know what? Unless you have permission, you don't repeat anything. You don't say anything. It's like being an elder, right? I'm an elder at Calvary. I don't tell my wife anything. Sorry. You know why? Because it's privileged and it's confidential. And unless somebody says, you can tell, you know, ask people to pray for me, zip the lid, brother. Don't do it. And if you do have permission, you only give facts. You don't name names and you don't give opinions. Just give the facts. And you don't confess other people's sin. Did you hear what that guy did? Oh, yeah, he did that thing. Oh, my. No. If he wants to confess his sin, that's his issue. And if he wants to tell you, that's his issue. But if he doesn't want to tell you, then you don't need to know. And nobody else does either. But how about this? We are told to love one another. So how about instead of gossip, you pray for the person? How about that? That'd be a lot better. And yet, what do? Oh, man, I could just kick myself 1,000 times. Right? Because I am my worst... I can't remember the word. Like, if I do something wrong, I am my worst critic. I will get on myself worse than anybody else can. And I do, and I think about it for days. I think about it for days, what a jerk I was. And then, you know, most of the time I go back and say, you know what, I really was stupid. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. And I'll be one of the first to come and apologize because I feel guilty. And that's the way it should be. It's the way God meant it to be, so that we could just stay right with each other. So then, gossip's one thing, but how about complaining? Oh, I'm going to do this all. Go drive in Michigan, right? How many traffic barrels, cones, the orange things do you see? Oh, terrible. Oh, right? Complaining all the time. Can't take it. Philippians 2:14. Oh, look at that. We're not in Proverbs. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians 2:14. It says this. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Because they do it all the time. You shouldn't. I shouldn't complain. Do all things without complaining or grumbling. Does that mean driving? You know what I mean? Because you have to complain when you look at that guy doing 35 in the fast lane. Oh man, get out of the way. No, don't complain. Don't complain. Complaining is not thankfulness. Did you catch that? Complaining is not being thankful. You need to be thankful, because I tell you what, look in every other part of the world, and we've got it so good here, no matter what situation we're in. No matter what situation we're in. Numbers 14:27 says this, how long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? I have heard the grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumble against me. And then what does he say? The Lord says this, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing I will do to you. Your dead body shall fall in the wilderness, and all of your number listed in the census from 20 years old and upward who have grumbled against me, not one shall come into the land which I swore I would make you dwell. Does the Lord like complaining? Absolutely not. In fact, he told the children of Israel, you keep complaining, okay, you're going to get what you're whining about, and then your body's going to drop dead, and you ain't going to get where you want to go. Complaining is not thankfulness. And we're told to give thanks in all things. So, what are some things we can do for complaining? Well, nourish a positive attitude for number one. I'm not trying to be Mr. Positive guy up here, okay? Don't think that. But we do need a positive attitude. In other words, life is messy. Nobody's perfect, right? I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. They're not perfect. We're not perfect. Wouldn't you like to be a perfect person too? But we're not, right? Always, you always have to see life like that and give grace. Because you know what? When I'm not the perfect person, do I want grace? Absolutely. Absolutely. So change the click attitude. Just, you know what I mean? It's like, switch that dial. Learn to adapt. Oh, I hate adapting. I hate it. Change. Oh, I like me the way I am. Wrong. Right? We are creatures of habit. I get up at this time. I get some breakfast, I take a shower, get dressed, come downstairs, get everything ready, get to work, then do the thing, log in, right? Exactly, same thing every day, right? Adapt. Adapt, overcome, right? Be a Marine. Adapt, innovate, overcome. Change is inevitable. There's nothing you can do about it. It's coming. So guess what? Make it a positive change. Whatever. You may not like it, but look at it and be thankful. Be more mindful. Now, what does mindful mean? It means actually thinking about things. It means actually, you know, in your head, kind of, instead of just reacting, you kind of think about it for a little bit. And you go, okay. Be mindful about things. Learn to graciously accept what life hands you. You know, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Or make lemonade with ginger ale, or lemonade with different kind of things. Kind of mix it, because life gives you different kind of things. Like cranberries. Did you ever notice that cranberries get into everything at the store? Did you ever notice that? There's cran grape, and there's cran raspberry, and there's cran strawberry, and there's cran bacon, and there's cran whatever else there is. Cran, they just seep into everything. Change is inevitable, folks. So just, you know what I mean? Take the lemons, add a cranberry, you got cran lemon, right? Good. Like it, love it, enjoy it. Don't be judgmental. Don't be judgmental in this part of complaining. Everybody makes mistakes, and even we make mistakes. You can't control everything, right? I got a lot of friends, people that, you know, I consider my friends. They might not consider me a friend. But you know what? They don't all do the things that I want them to do. So you love them for who they are. And you pick the good things out. You don't pick the bad things. Because you got them too. I got bad things. But I don't want to look at their bad things. Be responsible. Own your own mistakes, never the mistakes of others. And lastly, get involved. I tell you what, this is a huge one. The people who are the biggest complainers are the ones that don't do anything. They don't own it. They stand back and they whine and they complain and they're not part of the solution. They're part of the problem. And if you're not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. So you know what? Get involved. Even at work. You see an issue? Like, I work at GM, right? I work on the Corvette program. And if I see an issue, what did Mary Barra, our CEO, thunder down from on high? If you see anything wrong, you speak up. You get involved. You fix it. So I've gone up against some pretty big guys at work, me being a little person, little designer type person. And I've gone to some bigger guys and said, look, I think this is wrong. I think you should look at this. I think you need to get out of my way. I think my seat is the second most important thing in a car. Except for this, what is the two things that you interact with in a car every time? The seat and the steering wheel. Guess what I work on? The seat. Get out of my way. Because if you don't like your seat, you ain't buying a car, right? Fix it. Get in there. Throw yourself at it and work at it. And make it better. Because you can sit, it's easy to sit back and take your sniper rifle and go, oh, look at that guy. He's not doing it right. Right? You can pick people off all day long, or you can get in the trenches. Right? Even if it hurts. Even if it hurts. Lastly, I want to move on. I do want to get to the end. The end's got a really cool illustration, which I'll give anyway, even if I'm late. Matthew 5:44. Instead of sniping at people and attacking, Matthew 44 says, what I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. That's your enemies. What about your Christian fellow brothers and sisters? How about that? If we're supposed to pray and love your enemies, how about your Christian brothers and sisters? I tell you, I wish this were true. Ugh. Unbelievable. So, what do we do instead? Matthew 5:37. Just a little bit over. Matthew 5:37. It says, Jesus says, let what you say be simply yes or no. In other words, let your yes be yes and your no be no. What does it mean? Speak the truth. But now, this is very interesting. This is very, very interesting. Think about this for a second. If I just speak the truth, truth can be harsh, right? Without love. And if love without truth is misplaced, you need them both. Now, we're told to be salt and light, right? And salt, if you get it into a wound, it's kind of painful. But if there's love, it's okay. The hurt's okay. My sister was so good at this because she loved everybody. She really did. At her funeral, there was standing room only out into the hallway. There were that many people. Because she loved everybody, but she would tell you the truth, even if it hurt. And she loved stealing babies. I see you sitting here with a little baby, and she would walk up and just go, zoop, and gone. Take that baby. She was so cool. I miss her so much. Let our words be truthful. Let our words be loving. That's what it's to be. But it means we got to love our brethren and love our enemy. And sometimes that's hard to do, but it's not a suggestion, is it? Well, you know, love them, you know, if they're acting right. If you feel like it. If you haven't had your coffee yet. You know what I mean? I don't drink coffee myself, but other people can't get their engine started until they drink a cup of coffee. And a lot of you are in that boat, I know. Right? Some people have the I'm not alive until I get my coffee and stuff like that. Let our words be truthful. Let our words be loving. Ephesians 4:29 says this. Ephesians 4:29, it says this. It really does. I got this new Bible, and I'm not complaining, but it's got really small verse numbers, and I'm having a hard time picking them up. I might have to get another Bible. It says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such that is good for what? Building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Our words need to be building, edifying, gracious, right? When you have people talk to you, do you want them to be edifying and be building up and be gracious to you? And yet, that guy. Just like Danny, you know, let's clap for the musicians. That's edifying. It really is. It's a sign of appreciation, and we need to learn how to accept appreciation and things like that without being over the top like a Hollywood person who thrive on stuff like that. We praise God for gifts and talents and things like that, and we give it all back to the Lord because it's not me. So, truthful, loving, edifying, and lastly, which is kind of the same thing. This one falls into really the same thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says this, 5:9-11. It says, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live through him. And it says this, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. His directive toward us is to encourage and build up our brethren at all times, because I tell you what, this world is not a happy place sometimes, and it can get us down, and Christians do get depressed. It happens. We do get down, and we need encouragement from our brothers and sisters, and sometimes you can see it in their face. And they'll say, you know, you go, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. No, you're not. What's going on? Right? Now, what's really funny is there's a guy that I know, and Chris tells the same story, so people must do this. But every time you'd say, he'd come up and say, hey, how you doing? And you'd say, I'm fine. He'd go, great, 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 thanks, great. He'd just walk right on. Well, what you do then is you go, when he comes up next time, he says, hey, how you doing? You say, hey, my mother just died. And he goes, great, great, thanks, great. Just walks right on by to see if he's listening. Now, where am I going with that? We need to be observant and pay attention. We need to edify. We need to be truthful. We need to love. And we need to encourage. We need to encourage. Now, it's very interesting. I heard a joke some children played on their grandfather. They found him asleep on the sofa. Maybe you've done this to somebody in college or something like it. But one of the youngsters got this bright idea to spread Limburger cheese all in his mustache. Okay? And that stuff smells nasty. After a while, Grandpa wakes up and begins to smell the Limburger cheese. And he says, something in this living room stinks. So he walks around, he walks into the kitchen. He says, something in this kitchen stinks. So he goes and he finally sticks his head outside and he goes, this whole world stinks. Yes, it does. This whole world does stink, folks. It absolutely does. But the issue is, some of us have Limburger cheese in our hearts. We make it stink. We make it stink by what we say. The problem's not out there. It's in here. It's in me. Something needs to change within us. We need a new way of thinking. We need a new way of acting. We need a new way of living, and we need help. And we can start with our words. We can definitely start with our words. Now, I want to give you something before we're done. And it's an acronym. See, I used to say an acronym, and that's just completely wrong. And that's because I don't like the English language. I've taken like 7 English classes, and I hated every single one of them. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. It was tough for me. But ask the following questions. And you can T-H-I-N-K, think, okay? Think, which I don't do enough of. But T is it true? Is it true? When you hear, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? If you can go through and mark all 5, you're probably okay saying it. But if there are some things in here that you can't check off, then maybe it's better not be said. And then, if it comes at you, it's the same thing. Is it really kind, what that guy's saying? Is it really necessary? Is it really true? Is it really helpful? Is it really inspiring? Well, if it's not, you know what? Stop sighing. I don't want to hear it. Right? Think. Think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Is it kind? Tell you what. Yes, the flame is just a beast within our members. And it's set on fire by the fires of hell. And it carries with it the stench. But we can change that. We have a new nature. We have Christ's nature. And He never did that. We can do that too. It takes work. Right? Sometimes we don't like, well, this is too hard. Well, you know what? Good things come when it's time and we work hard, just like playing that guitar. I said to myself, I'd never be able to play guitar. And then I'm playing. And then I'll never be able to sing and play the guitar. Right? It's one thing to play because you got to keep your mind on all the notes. And then try singing and playing on a guitar. Oh, my word. Wow. What am I doing? You know what it takes? Work. Just like the tongue. It takes work. It takes thinking. And you can manage it. You can do it. So can I. Let's just pray. Father, we do come before You. We know we struggle with this. I struggle with words. And I know what's right. That's the funny part. We know what's right. But sometimes we don't do what's right. Paul in the book of Romans chapter 7, he argues, he struggles with the exact same things that we struggle with. He spelled it out right there. He said, I do the things that I do not want to do, and I don't do the things that I do want to do. Who shall save me from this wretched man that I am, he asks. Only Jesus can save us. Only He can teach us. Only Jesus can change us. Father, I pray for help. But You've given us a helper, right? The Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. We have the help. We must be willing. And I am willing. And we need to confess, and we need to be willing to be better with our words. Help us to do that. Thank You for Your word that teaches us. Thank You for Your word that corrects us and instructs us, because without it we'd be a mess. Lord, we think of all the prayer requests that were mentioned today. People having cancer, and people having eye cancer, and people suffering, and different things like this. We ask and pray that You would minister for the bus ministry and fixing the buses. We ask that You would go before and You would work and get those buses fixed. that you could reach out to the neighborhoods and pray for people. It's the same issue at Calvary. We pray for people. People who want to come and want to serve and want to love you and help others. Father, we give you great thanks. Take us from here with your blessing. Help us to be a blessing to someone this week with our tongue, with our mouth. And we lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.